we study the Word of God together. And we're in for a wonderful study here today, and it's a shocking look, really, and a word from Peter that just kind of punches you right in the gut, where he says, time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And it's just a reminder that, no, you won't be judged for your sins and for salvation, because Jesus was judged in your place. That's what we call the substitutionary death of Christ. That we know the wages of sin is death. That you and I don't have it on our own to make it into heaven or to be accepted by God. The good news is somebody died in our place. So we will never, and the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You will never be judged for your sins because Jesus was judged in your place. And that's why we go to church and worship and praise God, and all to him I owe. But you and I are going to have to give an account for what we've done. I love the way the New Living Translation says, for what we've done with the bags of silver that he's given us. And that is where we're picking this up here today, Matthew chapter 25. We're going to look at other texts other than 1 Peter 4:17 that say the time has come for judgment to begin, and it's starting right here in the house of God. Here's another text that's going to show us the same thing.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And this is you, here today, in the here and now. And these are the things, these talents, in which we shall give an account for. Remember our text, the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God. And you will be judged for what you've done with the talents that God's given you. Church, here's what God's saying to you today. This is the message from God for you today. It is, I have commissioned you, or better yet, I have paid you to build my church. That's God's message for you today. I have paid you to build my church. Now let's see how these guys fared in this parable. For the sake of this parable, it's not important how much a talent is or was. It's not important if this is a double play on words, a talent being a unit of weight or a talent like playing the piano like Glenda does, knows every song in every key. That's a talent from God. She might not have $30 million, but she's got a talent from God to bring people joy. God has commissioned you to build his church. He has given you what you need to do it. All right, so how did these guys do? And what was their reward or judgment for failing? Verse 16. So then, he who had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with them. And he made 5 other talents. Or he made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received the 2 gained 2 more also. All right, you see, it's not important what you have. It's only important with what you do with what you have. It's not important for what you have. It's important for what you do with what you have. It's like, let's see, who can I pick out? Gene. God-given Gene $1 million. And saying, I am trusting you with this $1 million, Gene. Go and build up my kingdom. compel people to enter in through this narrow gate. Now remember, you're a slave to righteousness now. You're chained to it. The Bible says you are compelled to do good. Here's $1 million from God. And I'm coming back again to see what you've done. And then God given $1,000 to Bill and saying exactly the same thing. As for the last person in this parable, verse 18, starts with the word but. But he who received one, he went and dug into the ground and he hid his Lord's money. Now after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. You see, the time is coming for judgment to begin here at the house of God. It starts here with me first as the spiritual leader of this church and then you as well. I've been given a lot personally. Some of you say I'm a good teacher or that I have a good working knowledge of the Word of God. And yes, perhaps I do. But keep in mind, this is the talent that God's given me. And the time is coming when I'm going to have to give an account for what I've done with what he's given me. Same like the guys in this parable. Now, prior to sharing Jesus' response to these gentlemen and contemplating their fate, let's have our halftime entertainment show out of the book of, as Donald Trump would call them, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 9. It says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent. That is, whether we're alive or whether we're dead. We make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him because we must all... Oh, there's that darn word again, all. You know, if only I was a Calvinist, then I would know all doesn't mean all. All means my grandmother in Schenectady somewhere. All means all. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive the things done in their body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Verse 11 naturally follows, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. All I can say to that is, I bet. Knowing what he knows, he persuades men. Oh, if you knew what he knew. Paul didn't need faith there was a heaven anymore. He'd been there. Paul knows what's coming, and therefore he persuades men. Jesus is real. He's coming back again. Therefore, he's persuading men that today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Like the Jews did in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years they tempted me in the wilderness. You see, the time is coming at the end of the age or at the end of our lives when you and I are going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for what we've done with what we've been given. But know this, again, this is for rewards. Not condemnation. The Bible is clear. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. These things are not done to decide whether or not you're good enough to enter into heaven. Because we already know no one is good enough to enter into heaven. The Bible says in Romans 5:2, speaking of Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Your access key is the Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, because you need help to get in. All right, now let's see what's happened to these three when the time came for them to give an account. Matthew 25. I'm going to respond here using the New Living Translation. Matthew 25, starting in verse 19. Matthew 25, 19. Now, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account. Now, imagine this happening to you. You get home, you get an email. Sharon? See you at Island Community Church, Tuesday at 10:30. And you say, but my shop is open. And he says to you, come alone. And you, 11 o'clock, and you, 12:30. You in the back, see you Thursday at 4. But come alone. Not only is that not far-fetched, that is going to happen. Whenever he comes back, or whenever you go first, whatever happens first, the time is coming. We're all going to stand before him, and we're all going to have to give an account for what we've done. What a scary thought. That word for appear, I read to you before, we must all appear. It's the same word used to give a summons by the court. Or back, I was told in the old days when you were drafted, you open up, you would say, greetings. You need to report it. One word, greetings, and then you need to get your rear end over here Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Jesus is likewise, going to send his own calling card. Now, after a long time, the master returned from his trip, and he called them, let's change the word them, to you. Watching too much Daffy Duck. I got pronoun trouble. You. The master returned from his trip and he called you to give an account of how you had used his money. You can count on it. So it will be for you and I. I'll keep saying it until I'm blue in the face. The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Imagine receiving that summons. Verse 20. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver. Now, a talent, they're not inaccurate in this description. A talent is about 75 pounds. It could be silver, could be gold. Generally, silver. So again, the servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. And then the New Living Translation says, and the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Then he says this, let's celebrate together. Woo-hoo! Count me in. I love that. The master was full of praise. See why I say this is easy for me to preach this? $100,000 in one weekend while churches are closing all over the country. Half of them haven't even opened because of the sniffle virus. I got money here for my radio show. Gene will give me a check Monday from the church. You see, you're already doing this, people. The pastor and my health insurance kicked off on Saturday. Amen. You know why? Because of generous people like you. Amen. Some people in this room see to it that the food pantry never runs out of money. That's what I'm talking about. That's what he's talking about. It's people like you to make sure the food pantry doesn't run out of money. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking to you. You're going to give an account to these things, and praise God, you're off to a good start. You took what I gave you. You did your part. This is him speaking to you. Words you're going to hear. Most, if not all, of the people in this church that I know of, he's going to say, you took what I gave you, and you did your part to help turn this evil, crooked world right side up in Jesus' name. Those are some of the words you're going to hear. Whatever it is, God can take your 2 cents. If that 2 cents comes from the heart, and he can do great things with it. I've had someone for the next last 2 or 3 fundraisers give me a check for $10,000 at the radio station. But I have someone else that sends me $5. But that's all she has. It's $5. It's all the same to him. God's in the increasing business. He's looking for your heart. He's looking for your heart. But if that 2 cents is just to get rid of him, or if you tip God like a waiter, or at the, okay, then let's say this last guy here, because we're going to see, fails the salvation test, or at least he's going to enter into the kingdom smelling like smoke, like a pack of Lucky Strikes, this guy. But first, verse 2 in the second guy, verse 22. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest. I've earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. And isn't that exactly what I tell this church? Before I ever read that, God sends people this way to see what you are going to do as a church. Say no. It's not a sin. Say no. Whether it's a crisis pregnancy center or whether it's the other group. What's their name? Help me out here. The group down here on Courtney. With the safe house. You see, God gives us a chance to do something. He gives us a chance to start building up this account that we have. Amen. And we had a meeting. You see, this is why this church is doing so well. This is why you feel God when you come into these doors. Because we responded. We had a meeting the next week, and we voted on it. And we're giving them money every month now. Because God gives you opportunities. And when you're faithful in those opportunities, then he gives you more. He gives you more money or whatever it is that you need. He gives you more cans of soup, whatever it is that you need. More loaves of bread, whatever it is that you need. Money, whatever it is that you need. When you're faithful with what God's given you, and as a church, faithful to who he sends through these doors that legitimately need our help, and we respond that way, then more opportunities come our way. Whatever it is. So again, the servant who had received, verse 22, who had received the 2 bags came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest. I've earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Then he says, Let's celebrate together. Notice the equal praise. The common denominator is faithfulness. And it's what God's looking for in you. Faithfulness. Verse 24, then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops where you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew that I harvested crops that I didn't plant and gathered crops that I didn't cultivate, why didn't you put my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away from them. That's how the kingdom of God rolls. For those that do nothing. Now remember what God said to Job. Everything under heaven belongs to me. He owns it all. Whether it's a couple of cattle on some hill or everything. It's all his. Everything you own's come from him. God's given you, the Old Testament says, he's given you the ability to earn wealth. It's all his. He owns it all. Now, the end of the road for this person whom was entrusted from the Lord, verse 30, he says, Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, in my opinion, that is not just losing your reward. That's losing it all. You see, I guess all types of people are here, which is why Jesus says, And many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did I not? There's all types of people here. I don't see how this person is saved. If you don't give a rip about God or about the kingdom of God, and you're totally ungrateful for your salvation, then how are you born again? If you're born again, you don't act this way. You're grateful. You're grateful. Those who are saved are grateful to God for all that he's done. Those that are grateful, their names are now written in the book of life, live a different life now than they used to. Are you grateful? We read in the Bible about 10 lepers that got cleansed. 9 went the other way. 1 comes back to give glory to God. Jesus said, Where are the other 9? Isn't there only one of you that's returned to give glory to God? Those that are grateful that they're no longer slaves of sin. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that should cause us to open up our purses and wallets and checkbooks. That you and I should be joyfully chained to righteousness. Yours and I mindset needs to be, how much good can I do today? I mean, today might be my last day on earth. How much good can I do? So, what are you doing with God's money? What are you doing with the talents God's given you? And remember, the purchased possession out here souls. Souls. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.